Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, and as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join us with devotion as we begin with song, the scripture, and prayer? And Dr. Nooks, if you will give us a song, and I think you were interested in singing How Great Thou Art, and if you would remind us of that Isaiah 40:28 scripture when you read.
Yes. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen.
In our scripture, thank you, from Isaiah 40, the focus is 28, but I would like to read from 22 to 31. God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of its great power, of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. God is a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Would you join me in prayer as we go before the Lord? God, we come before you now. We're just so grateful and thankful that you woke us up this morning and you started us on our way, that you've given the use of our eyes and limbs and our mental capacity. Lord, you are such a great God, an awesome God, a God that's loving and kind. And so we know you're also a just God. But we come tonight, Lord, asking that as we have looked at what it means to be in relationship with you, as we have looked at who you generally are, Lord, we're trying to walk into a deeper understanding of you and understanding the Trinity. This month of March, we want to talk about God as creator and what all that means, how we see you, to know you more intimately as the Godhead. And then April, we want to talk about the Christ. And then May, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. So we want to know you and all of the entities of who you are so that we understand and we can be closer, more intimate with you. But tonight, oh God, we come before you and we're wanting to have you wrap your arms around us, have you walk us back through the understanding of creation and your purpose. And we trust you for every place we go. We ask these blessings now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us all say amen.
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 Amen. So before we get started, just wanted to ask a question. How many people do we have? I think, can we get a roll call tonight? I see Dr. Nux. And that's Brett that I heard?
I'm here. Yes.
All right. All right. Awesome. 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 So tonight we're just going to get started with the three of us. We have others on the line, and we ask for prayer for Pastor Michael Diggs, who lost his brother and had his brother's funeral last week. And we have been in prayer with him, and he's usually here every week. But we want to lift him up because he's with his mom and supportive of his family. I'm not sure if the connection, my phone has been going in and out this week. And so I'm asking if you all notice that you don't hear me continue in the conversation, and I'll try to call back in and we can continue from the outline that everyone has been sent. So, Brother Brett, how was your week? Are you doing good today?
Yes, I'm doing fine.
Good. Glad to hear you on the line tonight. Dr. Nux, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We hear you sniffing over there. Hope all works out. I'm trying to keep from having a cold myself. Yes. And we've got Brother Eric that's joining us tonight. Glad that everybody's on the line tonight. But as we start tonight, we want to look at an understanding of who God is. What does it mean that God is the creator? What does that mean? And we're going to look at that tonight. And you know what's interesting is when we look around us, it's easy for us to take for granted the created and the material universe because anybody that contemplates the existence of God, which is what we're talking about, even the atheists, people who don't believe in God, must ask themselves, where did the material universe come from? The material world as we know it's temporary and physical. However, the spiritual world is eternal and invisible to the material. In the beginning, it says, when God created the universe, the Spirit of God was present over the formless matter of the physical world, right, in Genesis 1:2. And that physical world, according to Scripture, derived its being from the invisible spiritual realms of God's presence. And we'll look at that in Hebrews 11:3. So my question to you all is, knowing what we know and what we see, how you all experience creation. You know, everybody sees it and understands it differently. Also, I want to do a little phone etiquette while I'm here. If you're on the phone and you're using the phone, because we can hear the background noise in the studio and you're shuffling papers or talking to people or you got animal in the background like I do, I have to put my phone on mute when I'm not talking. But make sure that when you listen for us to say, get off mute, because a lot of times we forget to get back off of mute when we begin to have a conversation. So can anybody jump in there and kind of give, how do you experience God in creation? What is it, you know, how do you connect when you are in creation? Anybody? Dr. Nooks, Brother
James.
Eric, Britt? Yes.
This is James. Yes, I do connect with God in creation. I am amazed at how God keeps everything in balance and how God controls the temperature over the whole world to just a few degrees. That's why we get concerned when we hear about global warming, that if it just gets out of kilter a couple of degrees, you can have an ice age or you can have flooding. God controls the ozone to protect us from the sun. Our creation, God's creation, is amazing. And then, of course, we have ourselves, humanity, and all the great and wonderful things about us that God has made, our ability to see and hear and feel and smell. When I look at the trees, the grass, and see that, you know, every blade of grass can be different, every snowflake is different, God is a great artist, and creation is just wonderful. And then I look beyond just where we are here in this earth, and I look up at the stars and realize that God creates all of that too. Every planet, every galaxy, all is created by God. So creation, to me, is amazing, and it's just God is awesome. I get enriched when I'm in nature. I just love to walk. I love to feel the sun on me. I love to, and just feel the connection of all that God has made, you know. I get renewed when I'm in nature.
Amen.
So it's wonderful to
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Now, from a concrete jungle person, Brother Britt or Eric, Brother Britt, how does the natural being out in creation impact you?
Well, I think I said a little something about it last week, because the Bible gives us all that we need in the first 10 words. In the beginning, says God created the heavens and the earth. So anybody that has a higher education, you had anything to do with physics or anything like that, you have to know that God is bigger than the universe, because you can't be inside of something and create it. You have to be on the outside where you can do your creation, or however that it was created by God. So he had to be a God that was on the outside looking at this world and this universe. Because it says, in the beginning, and if anybody knows anything about physics, that's time. God created the heavens, and that is space, and the earth, which is matter. So you got time, space, and matter, which, if you know anything about science at all, you know that in order for things to exist, you have to have those three. But it has to all happen at the same time in order for, excuse me, for a quantum, okay? But
okay.
This guy
well, thank you, Brother
heaven,
Greg,
so
for that.
He has to be bigger than what we can see. He has to be bigger than what
right.
we see
so,
in order for him to create.
Right. So my question was how do you experience creation? And so for me, when I experience creation, I find that peaceful thing that can happen to me. When I get out in nature and I'm around trees and water is calming for me, and it's just like Dr. Nicholson said, when the sun is on you, being able to sit out on the lake with a fishing pole, I ain't got to catch nothing. It's just the idea that I'm out there among nature. And I know that a lot of people, that's why I was teasing Eric, because I know he don't like being outdoors. Except he was with the Boy Scouts, so I got to take that back. He might. But for me, it's a place of respite. And when I go outside, I know. When I was a kid, my mom used to take me out in the morning, and we would go clean up this building. And while we were out, the color of the sky, it was before early, if we get there about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's something about the color of the sky that God paints as if, you know, colors that I have never been able to see matched on a map. You know, it's so phenomenal. It's so peaceful. It's so glorious that, for me, there's no question if there is a God, as Brother Brett was saying, is bigger than you and I. So that there's no question for me that God is because of the wondrous beauty and the phenomena of creation. So, Brother Eric, did you have anything you wanted to say about your experience of creation?
Yeah, there are many, many, but a couple of things. One is when I was out on the West Coast, I used to go to the Pacific Ocean and just look out and see the vastness of the water on the horizon and think how insignificant man was compared to this vast body of water that you could never see the end of. You see the same thing when I was in Jacksonville at the Atlantic and now in South Alabama at the Gulf. I've been on top of Mount Whitney, which is the highest peak in the United States, playing with the snowball at, you know, almost 14,000 feet and wondering, you know, how is that possible in a short sleeve shirt? That God has all of that in control and has put all that in place. And when we think about the large mammals that are in the ocean, the whales, and then you think of the microscopic organs that are still in existence and we're still discovering space that we know nothing about that are light years away, and to experience that. And I'll end it with this, is that not this past weekend, but the weekend before, I was in northern Alabama and went to a cavern, the Cathedral Cavern. And I'd never experienced a cave and the beauty of what water and sediment and, you know, the things that can transform and the
Amen.
Beauty that it can make of a natural wonder of an opening of a cave that, you know, the archaeologists and people are saying it was created. But the natural opening of this cave that was made that way. And, I mean, it's 40 feet high and, you know, 35 feet wide. And then you walk in and just the awesomeness of that, and then getting into the back of it and it's complete, they turn off the lights and it's completely dark. And the feeling that overcomes you. And so when you take the totality of what God has created and think of who you are and how insignificant you really are in the matter of all of that, but yet he sent his son to die for you, tells you just how important you are in the midst of all that he created.
So what does it mean to you guys that God is the creator? What, just briefly, what does that mean to you that God is the creator?
Well, this is Eric. For me, it just means that he's in control. He knows all. He understands all. And when I'm truthful about it, I don't need to worry about things if I've got the relationship with the Creator, because the Creator already knows my situations, my circumstances. He knows what I'm going to do, what I have done, what I'm thinking about doing even before I do it. But if I've got the relationship with the Creator and can have a conversation with the Creator, I need not worry about those things that are bothering me or that I can consider to be issues and problems that we have. And most times we forget that. We forget about who the Creator is and what the Creator has done and the all power that the Creator has. And therefore we think that we need to affect what's going on with us when really we just get in the way.
Amen.
Dr. Next.
Well, when I think about God as the Creator, it makes some of the things that we do seem so insignificant. It humbles me, and as Brother Eric was saying, to know that we are connected with the Creator of the universe, who created mankind, who created everything that we have, it makes our concerns less lessened, because we are part of the Creator that created all this. And not only did he create it, but he's still in control of what God created. I say God, because God is not a male or female, but it humbles me and also makes me feel that I should not worry about some of the things that I worry about, because I'm connected with somebody bigger than whatever it is that I'm worrying about.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is Brett.
And you, Brother Brett?
I look at things a little bit different, because my dad was part Indian. And so he taught me, no matter how many locks you put on a door, how secure you make your house, God is still inside the house and outside the house. He taught me to look at the trees, to look at the ends of the trees so I could see when it was getting ready to bud. Watching flowers come up out of the ground, watching new grass grow, smelling the air, feeling the cleanse, how the air is cleansed when it rains. And like you said, Dr. Susie, about the sunsets and even the sunrise and sunsets, how God paints everything and makes it so bright and beautiful, is something that we can't do on our own. And so from that, as a young boy, I've always known that he is better than me, bigger than me, more powerful than me or my dad or anybody else. And I had great respect and love for him. That's the way I look at him.
Amen. And that, you know, one of the foundational truths of the Bible is that God is the creator of all that is. And so
Amen.
I'm going to read to you Isaiah 40:28. And those of you, I'm going to read from the New Living. Someone else has a different translation, or someone can read the New Living and I can read the Message Bible. Does anyone else have the New Living or another translation other than that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I can read the Message if someone else wants to read the New Living. But the Message, I read from the Message, it says, "Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. God's creator of all you can see or imagine. God doesn't get tired out, doesn't pause to catch God's breath, and God knows everything inside and out. God energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts, for even young people tire and drop out. Young folks in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. So the point is that God is creator of all you can see or imagine with 4028. Does anyone else have the New Living or another translation?
I have the New Living.
Okay.
Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. So Isaiah 40:28.
Amen. So what does it mean for you guys when we see the word create? What does it mean to create?
To make something from nothing.
Okay.
And I think people get confused when they see somebody make something and they think that they created something. They haven't created something. They took something else and mixed it together and made something, but they didn't create it. To create means that there's nothing, and then all of a sudden there is something. That's to create.
And this is Eric, and that only happens once, because everything, and Dr. Nooks is absolutely right, that everything that we think we created or made came from what God spoke into being, from nothing.
Amen.
And so we're just using God's resources that he's put here, that he called into being here, for us to do the stuff that we do, but we haven't created anything.
Amen.
Right.
And, you know, and even to the point to where even to the point that there are people like, well, you know, when we have children, well, I created a son or a daughter. No, you didn't. Because God planted that seed in the first Adam that he made from dust.
Amen.
That God called into being, the dust.
Amen.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is that God is the creator, but people, we create an art structure or something like that, but they use pre-existing matter and we just form it in new ways. We just restructure.
Amen.
I understood you correctly.
That will suffice, yes, absolutely. That definition will suffice.
But what we see is that God had no raw material like we do to work with. So when we say that God is the creator, then God is truly creative, because God started with what? Nothing. So can somebody read Colossians 1:16?
Yeah.
Colossians 1:16.
Yes.
Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Kings, kingdom, rulers, and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. He existed before everything. This is 17. He existed before everything else began, and he holds all creation together.
Amen.
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 It was actually 16 and 17.
And 17. Absolutely. So that clearly says to you, to me anyway, is that we understand that God is the creator. And the new, the message says we look in his son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank, angels, everything got started in God and finds its purpose in God. God was there before any of it came into existence and hold it all together right up to this moment. And when it
Amen.
Comes to the church, God organizes it, holds it together like the head does the body. So it goes on and talks about how God, exactly as you said earlier, Eric and Dr. Nuts and Brett, is that God initiated, created. We are creative, but we use the materials that God has put here. And, you know, and we may be designers, I guess, but we're not original creators. We can be creative.
Amen.
But God has done all the work, the everything from start to the beginning. And that's really exciting to me. Let me ask this question.
Let me say this, because like Susan, you just said something that we are possibly designers, and I'm going to go one less than that, because I'm not even sure that we're that, because God gives us the talent and the desires to do all the stuff that we do. We're just rearrangers.
There you go.
Amen.
But that's really all we are, because when you go back to the scripture and Moses got the information from God to build the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, the Lord told him, I put the knowledge of the designs into these folks to do the work.
That's right.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
So, and that's why, Eric, we need to understand that when we accomplish things, we need to give God the glory.
Amen.
Always.
It's not about
Always.
Us. Huh?
Amen.
Always.
I know, but what I'm saying, based on that one statement, those artisans could have said, look what I did. But it's clear that the text said that God put into them the wisdom, knowledge, and the skill to be able to do what they did.
Amen.
So we have to give God the glory for the wisdom, knowledge, and skills gifts that we have, that we utilize every day to accomplish our fundamental task. It's not we of ourselves. So those of us who get kind of lofty and, you know, big-headed when we do something special.
Amen.
You know, we need to understand that
Amen.
It's God that gets the glory. Or we should be giving God the glory.
Amen. Dr. Susie, just for it. Would it be in order to say that God was the inventor of the heavens and the earth? Or does that take it away from the supreme being role?
That takes it away from it.
Create,
he was a creator. Creator is not the same thing as inventor.
Okay. Inventors are still people who use what's already the raw stuff that's already there. Like Eric was saying, is this came from nothing. But what we use, we restructure things together. That's kind of like an inventor is the one that restructures.
The only reason why I said that is because when we talk about creating things, a lot of people in today's terminology use that word creating this dish or in cooking, or they created this to give us shortcuts on how we can do something. So I was just thinking if there's another way that we can identify his awesome power and everything that would fit today's terminology. I think there are a lot of people that would get creation mixed up with modern day terminology, wouldn't understand what we're talking about.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, I was just going to answer Brother Brett, is that there are some things and definitions that you can't change because they are what they are. And when you talk about creating something, it is making something without nothing, starting with nothing.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's just one of those definitions that will not change. And so, you know, what we're trying to get people to understand is that that was only done once. And it cannot be done again because
right.
everything else has already been established through God's creating and calling into being.
Right.
So everything else is just rearranged, reused, repurposed. But we haven't created anything, and even in inventions, we're just using the raw materials that are already here to make them do a specific thing that we didn't know could do something
Amen.
Else, but God already knew when God put it here. He already knew what
okay.
everything could be used for.
And the
okay.
scripture says
Amen.
That there's nothing new
Amen.
Under the sun. So,
come on.
So, you know, Dr. Nix, I heard you start to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say that inventor does not give God the credit for
right.
creating, and that separates God from everybody else. I mean, people have split the atom, but they had to have an atom in order to split. They had
go.
To have elements in order to be able to mix things together and make gunpowder. I mean, you have to have something there first as an inventor to invent. I mean, people invented the car, but the internal combustion process was already made. I mean, God already provided the oil and the
right.
gas and the steel. So that's already there. So, yeah, I mean, you haven't created anything. You just put some things together, and now it looks different than anything that you saw before, but that doesn't mean that you created anything. But God, I mean, out of nothing, God made everything, and that's just it's amazing, and nobody
Amen.
Else has ever done that, and they can't do it. They can't create. Only
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I get somebody to get us to look at that? All of the, you know, I guess I should ask you how you think about this. When we see creation, do we think that all of the Trinity was present, or just the work of one or the other? So while you're thinking about that, Dr. Nix, would you get Genesis 1-2? Eric, would you get Acts 17:24? And Britt, would you get Hebrews 1-2?
Okay.
So my proposition, and I just want to give you some evidence, and you all come up with your own understandings, but my proposition is what we've already said, is that the Creator is the one that comes, who makes from nothing, and we've established that, that God didn't have any raw materials to begin with. That's why we say God is Creator. And we looked at Colossians 1:16, where we found that God's original purpose was in creating everything. And what we look at is God put things from nothing to order. It created order out of that. So Genesis 1:1, if we could get Genesis 1:1, and whatever text that you all feel are authentic that will give us our understanding of Genesis 1:1.
Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen. So in the message it says, first this, God created the heavens and earth, all you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness, and God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the water abyss. So we see God present.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So can we get the next text?
Acts 17, I'm going to start at 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I notice that you are very religious. as I was walking around, I saw your many altars, and one of them had this inscription on it: to an unknown God. You have been worshiping him without knowing who he is, and now I wish to tell you about him. 24. He is a God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no need, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need there is. From one man, he created all nations throughout the whole world. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall, and he determines their boundaries. His purpose in all this was that the nations should seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and exist.
Amen.
I actually read through 20.
Amen.
That's okay. That's okay. That's awesome.
Amen.
So, Greg, can you read your portion?
Yes. This is the NIV version. I'm going to start at 2, but I'm going to go through 4.
It read says, what's the scripture? Read the whole scripture. What is the scripture?
Hebrews 1, verse 2. If you want me to do the whole thing, I can do it. Verse 1 says, In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin.
That's fine. That's fine. Fine, Brent. Yes, that's fine. So what we wanted to show here is we saw God, we saw the Son, and I'm going to read this. It says, again, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. So we see all three.
Amen.
Is everybody with me on that?
This is Eric. And I really don't mean to cut you off, but I don't want our listening audiences to miss this point. That from the time that God came on the scene, for lack of a better phrase, all three were present.
Amen.
And it depends upon what area of operation the Trinity needs to operate, depends which one is going to take the lead, but all three are present.
Good one.
Amen.
Yes.
And I don't want our listening audience not to lose sight of that, because so many times we think that, oh, well, it's just God, oh, it's just Jesus, oh, it's just the Holy Spirit. No, all three are present, but it depends on what area of operation needs to be accomplished, depends upon which one takes the lead.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so we've established that all three personhoods or all three persons are present. We understand that the Word says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We understand that 1:1 says there existed no heaven and no earth. And how did they come into being, according to Genesis 1:3, 6, and 9 that we just read a minute ago, is that God spoke. Wow.
Amen.
And so I guess, we read that, but I guess I need to read it again just so that we can reiterate the fact that when God wanted something to happen, all God had to do was to speak. And I think Dr. Nook said, when he said, God spoke light, and it appeared.
Amen. Let there be light.
So whenever,
and it was light.
Absolutely. So before Genesis, there was no heaven. So then God spoke that into being. And then in 6 days, we find that God made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it. And what does it teach us about God? What do we know? I think Brett said it so phenomenally, that God is not limited by time, by space, by matter, or our freaking understanding. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
God is God, no matter what it is we think and understand.
Amen.
God is also a God of order, and I think that you see that, I mean, in how God created, you know, you had there the water before you had animals, and the animals of the sea, I mean, and even in the tabernacle, God creates and has certain things that are done at certain times, and he wants things done in a certain way. So it says that God is not chaotic, and God knows what
God
wants, and God wants it done. And so God is a God of order. Amen.
Amen.
God is a God of order, absolutely. And things were in order so that, and God prepared it such that, you know, with foresight, with foreknowledge, with foreunderstanding, so that we could inhabit that which God created and as part of God's creation. Amen.
This is Eric. There's
Eric.
Another piece. Now, he's a God of order, but he's a God of patience too. Because God could have very well did all of that in one day.
Amen.
But God didn't. He was patient enough and thoughtful enough to say, okay, I'm going to do this in a way that when people read this, you know, thousands of years from now, that hopefully they pick up on that everything doesn't have to be done right away, and everything ain't, you know, instantly in microwave minute. For those of, remember the basketball player Benny Johnson, they called him microwave because he could shoot a basketball coming off the bench and score so quickly. Everything ain't like that. Everything's not like that. And God proved that with this, because in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, it said he what?
Rested.
And he didn't rest for himself. He rested for us to get a true understanding that what I have created, you need to take some time to enjoy. You need to recuperate. You need to give everything that I've created a chance to breathe and settle and all of that. You can't just, toil. You got to take a break. You got to let it rest. You got to let it ferment. You got to let it, you know, and we forget that. Everybody, we're always in a hurry. We're always in a rush. Oh, I got to go, got to go, got to do this, got to do that. God is a God of patience. He's a God of order, absolutely, but he's a God of patience too. Because what we read in Genesis chapter 1, he could have did instantaneously. God could have done instantaneously.
Can you go ahead and read it from the New Living Translation again, Genesis, the Genesis piece about creation? And while you're doing that, Dr. Nitz, would you go ahead and complete your thought?
I was just going to say that what the brother Eric was talking about is a lesson that we really need to hear, and that we need to take a break, and we don't need to do everything all at once. And humanity, ever since we tried to be gods ourselves, we try to do everything in our time, or we try to make it our time.
Come on.
And we miss so much because we're in such a hurry. And if God's nature doesn't do anything, it ought to cause us to slow down and appreciate the beauty of God and the beauty of creation. But we're going so fast, and we're going so fast, and we want so much, and we want it right now, till it overrides everything. I mean, we step on people. We don't even see them. We don't observe that people have needs. We just run because we are going toward our goals, and it's not pleasing to God. And we do need to slow down.
Amen.
And we need to appreciate and understand. Amen. And appreciate one another. Lord have mercy.
Amen.
And when Eric is reading this, I want to point and to make a point of listening to the order. That's why I want to reread this. I want us to look at the order and listen to the order. Go ahead, Eric.
So this is a New Living Translation, Genesis, starting at chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness. And the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that it was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Together, these made up one day. And God said, "Let the space between the waters be separated, water from water." And so it was. God made this space to separate the waters above from the waters below. And God called the space sky. This happened on the second day. And God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky be gathered into one place, so the dry ground may appear." And it was so. God named the dry ground land and the water seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land burst forth with every sort of green and seed-bearing plant, and let there be trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. The seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." And it was so. The land was filled with seed-bearing plants and trees, and the seeds produced plants and trees of like kind. And God saw that it was good. This all happened on the third day. And God said, "Let's bring light, let bright light appear," excuse me. And God said, "Let bright light appear in the sky to separate the day from night. There will be signs to mark off the seasons, the days, and the years. Let their light shine down upon earth." And so it was. God made two great lights, the sun and the moon. The sun to shine down upon the earth, the greater one, the sun, presides during the day. The lesser one, the moon, presides through the night. He also made the stars. God set those lights in the heavens to light the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. All this happened on the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swim with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every sort of fish and every kind of bird, and God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Let the fish multiply and fill the oceans. Let the birds increase and fill the earth." This all happened on the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth every kind of animal, livestock, small animals, and wild animals." And so it was. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce more of its own kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make people in our image to be in our likeness. They will be masters over all life, the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the livestock and wild animals and small animals." God created people in his own image. He patterned them after himself. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and told them, "Multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Be masters over the fish and the birds and all the animals." And God said, "Look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given you all the grasses and other green plants to the animals and birds for their food." And so it was. And God looked over all that he had made and saw that it was excellent. in every way. All this happened on the sixth day. And this is going into second chapter, the first four voices.
Yeah, and that's good right there. That's good right there.
Amen.
No, so wait. No, you can't stop there.
Okay.
So
okay,
the creation of the heavens and the earth
the
and every...
Okay, go ahead to the end of the
yeah,
seven.
So,
go ahead to the end, the six.
So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, having finished his task, God rested from
Amen.
All his work. And God blessed the
Amen.
Seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from his work of creation. This is the account of creation of the heavens and the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
So, reading that, what did you get from an understanding of God? I mean, all of you. I mean, just one thing. Just give me one thing that you got from an understanding of how you see God. And I'm going to start off.
This is
Eric. I see God as sovereign. I saw God as sovereign through all of that. Sovereign, meaning that God is the supreme ruler. God is the one who put everything in place. And so as a result of understanding God's sovereignty, then that should teach us how to respond. The sovereignty of God as creator should get us to fully understand that we know that God is bigger than we are, stronger than we are. We need to be accountable and to be thankful and grateful and because we were part of that creation. I mean, that's
Amen.
The first thing that jumps out at me.
Amen.
Well, sovereign is absolutely correct. This is Eric. And when I say this, I got to go. My wife's aunt has passed away, and we're trying to get funeral arrangements to be ready to travel tomorrow. So I apologize for telling you
okay.
in front. I got to go. But I also see through this that God is purposeful. And what I mean is that as God worked through creation, there was a purpose with the finish in mind, and he was purposeful in the way that he structured that.
Amen.
Absolutely purposeful in the way he structured that. And then once he got to the end of that, he said, okay, let us make man in our image, and we're going to give him dominion on the sixth day, and he's going to control everything. And that was purposeful because that is the relationship that God covets the most, is the relationship that he has with man. God
Amen.
Is not
and,
going
and
to
Eric,
break into our lives, but he
absolutely
wants to be a part of our lives.
Amen.
Absolutely. And before you leave, I want to say this last thing, is that what happened that was different when he got to the understanding of creating human beings, he did something different. He took the clay that he had already made, and he formed a man.
Right.
But this is what he did. He breathed his own life,
his
soul, somebody.
Right.
This is a celebration
right
here.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Into man.
Amen. Amen. Which is that
that's
restlessness in mankind that, and I'm going to say
yeah.
this to, because I honestly believe this, which is that restlessness in mankind when he is separated from God and does not have an authentic relationship.
Amen.
Or understanding
that is that restlessness that is in man.
Something. Yes. Thank you, Brother Eric. Have a good. We'll be praying for you and your family.
All right.
And,
I appreciate
if
that.
You get a
Thank
chance,
you. God bless you all.
Amen.
All right.
Will do. God
Brother
bless you all. Thanks.
God bless.
Dr. Nook.
Yes.
Yes.
So here we are. God is the designer and craftsman of everything in the universe. He created human beings a step above the rest by breathing God's own life into Adamos.
Amen.
So Dr. Nook, what hits you when you understand that in you is the breath of God? Because it's still in us. It gets passed down. That's how we, you know, how do you feel about that?
I feel humbled, and I feel that God is in me. I would not exist without God. And no humanity would exist without God. And I think God wants to be close to us, but we tend to want to, some of us, move away from God. And I think that breaks God's heart. God made us. God created us. God breathed the breath of life in us. God wants us to be close to him.
Amen.
Absolutely. And that,
you know,
we as human beings are more like God than any other being, any other created thing. We are more like God because we have an eternal spirit like God, because we are made in God's image. And this is where we'll pick it up next week as we talk about the image of God that's in us. So,
amen.
You know, what does that
amen.
Look like?
Amen.
What does that look like?
Dr. Susan, I was going to say, I never looked at us the way we function, that the breath of God, when he blew it into man, thumbed down through the centuries. And I don't think a lot of people look at it that way. I think we just think it's part of the natural production of our bodies. But in actuality, the jump start we had was from God himself. And now that's passed down through the generations. And we need to focus on that more, I believe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Dr. Nitz, if you will close us in prayer and extend the invitation tonight. And I just thank you guys. If we could just give one take home before Dr. Nick says the prayer. And before we do that, I'm sorry. Does anybody have any prayer requests? I have a praise report. I just want to pray that share the praise report that, you know, a job opportunity is on the horizon for me. And I'm just so grateful.
Amen.
And I want to thank the Lord for it. I don't want to be remiss of bringing that out. I want to thank God. Jamie's in the hospital and he's improving. I thank the Lord for that. I pray
Amen.
My daughter's on her way back home from Salt Lake City and she's safe. And I thank God for her work that she's been able to do. And I thank Dr. Nitz for his support in my life and Brett's support and Eric's support, and that we have continued to fight and to try our best to bring a dialogue about God's word every Tuesday so that others can join
Amen.
And participate. And so I thank those of you who are contributing to that. So if you, if there's one thing you'd like to say, Brett, to leave about God as creator, one statement about God as creator that you gleaned from what we talked about tonight, so that they, you know, this is a summarization of what we've already discussed. What would you share with our radio audience?
Well, it seems very clear that God is so awesome that we should not take our lives for granted. The breath that you take, we can't take that for granted, because if it wasn't for the Creator, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have this land that we stand on. We wouldn't have the knowledge that we have. Nothing that we're able to do today would not have taken place if it wasn't for God. And we need to keep that in our minds daily. That's why prayer is so very important.
Yes, yes, yes. This is Dr. Susie, and I was just reminded, I'm just going to repeat what I've already heard somebody say today, but it was so significant to me, is that everything that exists is under God's control. And so there's nothing that we as God's children need to worry about, because the creation has to be subjected to the Creator. So
Amen.
God has it in control. And therefore, we should, you know, not put any other things before God, and we to make sure that we honor God for what God has done. And um, I'm just celebratory that God is a
Amen.
God who brings things out of chaos. I mean, so when we have chaos in our lives, when we have struggle, that God can bring order to that. God is the one, as I said earlier, that is in control. And I think that's something to celebrate tonight. I think that's something to celebrate.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Nooks, did you want to add anything to that before you began the prayer?
I just agree with, you know, everything that's been said tonight. And people think of, I want people's minds to move beyond this earth and understand how awesome God is, because we think of people going up in rocket ships or in spaceships, and they think that those people are so smart and all this kind of stuff. And then God controls all of those planets that people might want to go to, all those, the sun and the asteroids, I mean, everything. And, I mean, when we just look up, we can just see the awesomeness of God. I mean, people see great things here on earth, and they think it's wonderful, and they think see inventions and say how smart people are. But God has done so much more than that. And this Creator is in us. And that's what I want you to understand, is that that same God has made all of that is in believers. And God wants to abide in us. And that's amazing that we have God living inside of us, the same God that created everything. And I'm excited about that. And we want to extend an invitation to those that are listening in tonight, because God wants you to be a part of God.
Yes.
God loves you so much that God died for you. I mean, Jesus died for you. And the Holy Spirit wants to abide in you, and God wants you to be close to God. And it's so awesome, those that are listening in. And you don't have to do a whole, I mean, you can't get yourself right. None of us can. But all God is saying is that if you just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it doesn't say that you have to go out and right every wrong that you ever did. It's just saying believe in Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, and believe in God, and God will come in and abide in you. So if you would say with me, you know, God, I've sinned, I've done wrong, and I want to confess my sin, and I want you to come in and be my Lord. I give my life to you. I believe in Jesus. I believe that you raised him from the dead. Today you can be saved right now. And God, we want to thank you for loving us, and you're awesome, and we don't understand everything about you. But God, we're so glad that you love us, and you love us right now, and you just continue to love us, even when we act deplorably, and we get so mean and nasty and mad, and you still are there reaching out, saying, come back to me. Come back to me. I'm here. I've always been here. And I just want you to come back to me. And God, we lift up our praise and our thankfulness to you. But Dr. Susie having the job opportunity that's only arising. God, she loves you, and she's been dedicated. She serves. She loves people. And I'm just excited for her. And I want you to bless that effort in Jesus' name. And we lift up also her son who's been in the hospital, and just pray for his healing in Jesus' name. And we also are grateful for her daughter on her way back from a trip who's been very successful in their engineering, and just bless her in a special way. God, I want to lift up my sister who has cancer, and she's battling right now. And she has surgery in a couple of weeks to remove a tumor. And I just ask you to bless her in a special way. And there are many people that are sick that may be listening in, and they have sick friends and loved ones. We pray for healing, and we pray also, God, for those that are struggling and they're running away from you, that somehow something will happen and they will turn around and look to you and come back to you, just like the prodigal son. We pray for intervention in their lives. And we're praying for those that are hurting right now for many reasons, just to touch them in a special way. God, and bless this Bible study as we try to reach out to
yes,
people
Lord.
With your love. And we're going to continue to give you praise, honor, and glory for all that you are, God. Thank you for being the God
Amen.
Of creation. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.